Hello and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. This is Javier.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are so grateful for you. We're so glad to be back this Tuesday. We've got just a wonderful summer coming up. We're excited about the next couple of months. We've got, I know many of you and we are as well, but preparing maybe for school to be out this week. We've got vacations. Hopefully you're taking a vacation or taking some kind of break or have a day off coming up. We're trying to do the same, but we are looking forward to good times, warm temps, summer camps, things like that. And I think you are probably as well.
Yes.
And so we wanted to talk a little bit about one of our kind of hot topics, favorite subjects, things that we love to kind of talk about around here, relationships specifically. We're talking about marriage today. We're talking about some key components because we know also when kids are out of school, when the temperatures are rising, when we're trying to get the SUVs or the vehicles filled, packed, get on the road or go on a trip, tempers can flare, things can come up. Maybe we let a ball drop here or there because we're out of our normal consistent routines. And so we thought maybe this might be a good jumping point for the summer. We talk about relationships often. We talk about what makes great relationships, whether that be in leadership, in work, or in your personal life. And so we wanted to kind of jump in again with another great conversation between Danielle and I. We've been married now...
Almost
17 years. It'll be 17 years in July. And
been together 18 years.
Yes. So that's why I always get kind of confused. But it's the 17 year mark has been amazing. It's been a great journey. We've been through a lot. We have excelled at a lot. I think we've also had some tight, tough moments during that time. But the cool thing is that, of course... we like each other.
Yes.
We love each other. We are for each other. And I think that all of those things matter. We wanted to talk about three key components today to building a strong marriage, but wanted to just kind of start off by saying, I appreciate you, Danielle. I appreciate the things that you do for us and for our family. I appreciate the sacrifices, the gifts that you've given to us, the time, which of course, time, as we know, is one of our most valuable assets. And so around here, we try and protect our time as best we can. And we also try and maximize or make the best of our time. And I hope that you are as well. And so these are some of the things that we've talked about before. But as I said, this is just to kind of start off this good conversation.
Yeah. And I think that at any point in your marriage, whether you're new to your marriage relationship, whether you're like us and you're almost a couple of decades into it, or whether you're lifers and you've already been married 40-something years, I think that these three key components that we're going to talk about are always either a good starting point or a good refresher. And I'm sure the people who have been married a long time and married successfully and
yes,
happily
right.
could agree that commitment, communication, and consistency are really key, that those are three key building blocks to a strong marriage. And so I think we just want to tackle each of those individually. So with commitment, it starts with I do. And as we know, and you and I have talked about before, you can't just say I do at the altar
right.
or before the judge or whatever the circumstance
yep.
was. And then think that you're good to go to infinity
yeah, exactly.
and beyond. As we know that, you know, that I do has to be renewed, you know, on a daily basis,
yes,
ultimately.
Exactly.
Ultimately, you have to say yes to each other and choose each other every single day. And in the world that we live in, we know that there is a lot vying for our attention and our time, like you talked about. And there's always, it seems like there's endless, circumstances, people, and opportunities
oh, yeah.
that try to help you not choose each other.
Yes, definitely.
In marriage, it seems like that's one of the things that is the most under attack in general in our society for is sure. a strong marriage. You know, people, it seems like sometimes like the idea of that, but in actuality, it doesn't.
Wait, they like the idea of what?
They like the idea of a strong marriage.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But also, everyone would say that. People are oftentimes not the biggest cheerleaders of helping people keep a strong marriage.
Yes.
And
yeah, I think that's a great point. I think to me, you know, practically how you see that out, you know, playing mm-hmm. out is, you know, of course, work. That's a huge commitment. That's a certain thing that,
yeah.
you know, depending on your specific situation or what, you know, how you live, work obviously has to take a certain amount of time. But also we're talking about the things after work.
Yeah.
Sometimes also, I mean, you know, you can hear podcasts and other places of, you know, workaholism and things where people were way, way, way too committed to things that were essentially non-essential.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, hey, you know, you just kind of get into a rhythm. Hey, I've got work this Sunday or this Saturday. And, you know, sometimes definitely, I mean, depending on the nature of your job and your work, and of course we have people in all sectors, but the idea of work always taking more, it's going to take the time if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we have to push back on that if possible and when possible, to guard and protect our time for our marriage, because that commitment is not easy. And it's certainly not easy when you're being pulled in different directions. So work is one. Another practical way is other clubs and associations and, you know, even just friends, well-meaning mm-hmm. good friends. If they're not also willing to protect your marriage and your time with your spouse, then I think you might need to check into that. You might want to kind of look at that, because while we have friends and good, you know, people around us, it's just human nature that mm-hmm. When people want you, they want all of you, they want all your time, and you know, they want direct time. We like giving people what's that word, that, you know, just kind of like
undivided exclusive attention.
Yeah, exclusive, undivided.
Yeah.
You know, we really try to do that as best as we can, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, if we're not leaving anything left for our spouse, I think then that can get us into a problem.
Yeah.
Because we can do some very well-meaning things. We do, you know, charitable work through Connect Global. And so these are good, honorable things mm-hmm. to do. But if we allow that to continue to fill the boundaries of the space that we've allotted for it, then it's going to continue to consume more and more and more. Because I think things that take up our time are like water. They're always going to fill the empty spaces.
Yeah.
And so for us, we have to be very protective of that and at least be aware that our commitment is, like you said, more than just the one-time thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people think, especially in marriage, in a relationship, that, you know, that starts when we say yes. When we, you know, start down that pathway, that it's like, okay, cool. I told you I committed to you. I said yes. But as we know, we meet people and know people that have, you know, certain things come up and bad things happen and tragedies, you know, can happen to anyone, and things that we wouldn't have expected or wouldn't have planned for. And then that's when the commitment really means the most.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to commit in fair weather, but it's certainly harder to hold on to that commitment when the storms come.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, one of the things I'm really grateful for is that you and I had a really good understanding. As young as we were when we got married, we both seemed to have a really good handle and grip on the idea that our marriage was a lot more important than our wedding day.
Yes.
And it seems like, culturally speaking, you know, people kind of go gaga for their wedding days. And they put a lot of resources and a lot of effort into that one single day. But I'm grateful that you and I, you know, really didn't prioritize that in the way we've prioritized our marriage and our relationship. Now, granted, we did have a beautiful wedding. Sage and I were actually looking through the photo albums, the wedding albums, last night. And it was kind of fun to look back, and man, we looked so young.
Oh yeah,
and that we were
a lifetime ago.
But I do even remember at that time, even saying out loud to family and to friends, because they were like, you're the opposite of Bridezilla. Like, you don't really even seem to be concerned with any details of this. Yep. And I really wasn't, because to me, that's not what it was about. I knew that that was just day one of the rest of our life.
Yeah.
And you were the same way. And so I'm really grateful for that. And I encourage people who aren't yet married to definitely adopt that way of thinking, because the wedding day is exactly that. It is a day.
Yes.
And then you have many, many more days together.
Yeah.
Some exciting, some very difficult, a lot of mundane, just grocery runs and school drop-offs. But being committed to the marriage and the day-to-day and not just focusing on the one day is so important. And I would say, in line with that, school drop-offs and things, even our kids can be something that, if we're not careful, we prioritize above our marriage. And that can also lead us into some tricky waters. And so I think it's very important. Of course, we all want to give our children everything, and we don't want them to, you know, have any lack or any want. But we also do, in line with that, have to prioritize our marriage still above our children, because that's really the ultimate gift that we can give them, is a quality and strong, loving relationship between the two of us.
Yes. Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because there has to be, you know, of course, we want to provide for our kids. We want to give to our kids. We have to. You know, that's our priority. That's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Of course, full and, you know, full stop. But what you're setting up and what you're saying exactly is right, because that's one of the best ways we provide for them. That's one of the best ways we protect them. That's one of the best ways that we can give them everything. And at the very least, we can give them the best start.
Yeah.
You know, because of course we all know that other things are going to come along our life, but for our kids especially, that's one thing that you and I have done, and I appreciate it when you've done it, more specifically, you know, just to give you that credit, but you've been able to remind both of us at times that our marriage, our relationship, that came first.
Yeah.
And out of that relationship comes our children, our child. And so that's the idea, is that the you know, the sacrifice, the time, the effort, the energy, all the things that we, you and I, put into our relationship is going to be reflect, you know, that's going to be what sets up our daughter for success.
Yeah.
In her relationships, in her relationship with us, in this family unit that we've created, but also in other family units that she would, you know, that she will be introduced to later on in life.
Yeah.
That gives her a good foundation, a good base, because she knows that we respect each other. She knows that we honor each other. She knows that we have sacrificed for each other. She knows that we fight, but that she also knows that we make up.
Yeah.
And I think that's always been important to me as well, is that we show our commitment.
Yeah, she gets to see we both have an opinion.
Oh, yeah. We show our commitment, though, when we can hear each other's opinion.
Yeah.
Can have, you know, maybe sometimes even a lively debate about that. But then at the end of the day, mutually respect each other, mutually show love to each other, and stay committed to what we're building here. Because it's very, very easy to, if you don't hold commitment as one of your high values in marriage, it's very easy to, when things hit the fan, to start edging towards, you know, dividing things up.
Right.
Dividing your time up, dividing your assets up, dividing your life up, and ultimately then, you know, using divorce as that ultimate sort of, you know, see you later. And so to
or me, even as a threat.
Or, as you know, some maybe even worse times as a threat.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that word, you know, is something that that society has coined as sort of the catch-all for any disturbance.
Yeah.
And I think it really should be the ultimate end-all, you know, sort of like last resort.
Yeah.
But division, divorce, splitting up, splitting time, those things are far too easy for most people in society. And that will create dissension between each other. It creates distrust. It creates an insecure, unsteady environment for our kids. And we need to be committed not only just to our relationship, but also maybe committed to not using that, like you said, as a threat.
Yeah.
Also, we have to say, we will never, ever, ever use that in an excuse for bad behavior.
Yeah.
Abusive behavior.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you have to trust that, you know, the type of commitment that we're talking about is not enduring abuse. It's not enduring assault. It's not enduring any kind of acute or long-term, you know, bad behavior in those type of ways.
Right.
So we want to make sure and
separate
say that.
Separate from that.
It's
yeah.
separate from that. We're talking about, you know, we
Get on each other's nerves.
Yeah, we forgot the shopping list, or we did this, or, you know, we didn't get the right things, or we, you know, there are certain things that we know, there are certain escalations, but the idea is that the commitment overrides most of our, you know, if we really look at it, it's going to override most of our disagreements.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about today.
For sure. And I think that kind of leads in perfectly to our second point that we're talking about, which is communication. So obviously open communication and accurate and honest communication, I think really lends towards a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage, active listening, empathy for each other, forgiveness, all of those things are crucial. And I think that that's one thing that can get tricky sometimes. Whether you've been together a short period of time or you've been together a long period of time, sometimes we take communication for granted.
Yeah.
Because we just assume the other person knows what we're thinking.
Right.
Or even maybe worst case, or worse than that, worse than assuming they know what we're thinking.
Yeah.
They are thinking that we are thinking something more negative than we are.
Right.
And so sometimes our spouse can have a voice in their head that's way different for us than what we're even feeling or thinking towards them. And I think that the silence is what lends towards, you know, believing that, to not addressing that and to not tackling that and not to, then you're not dispelling that. And so sometimes we can think that our spouse is actually thinking worse of us than they are, or that they're being more critical of us than they actually are. And I think that that's where open communication can come in. And then also we have to be committed to actually believing each other, you know, and like taking what we're saying to each other for, you know, at face value. So if you're saying, you know, I'm really not upset about this situation and this and that, I should try to believe you, and vice versa. And so actually being committed to being authentic and vulnerable and honest, but then also being committed to trying to receive that communication authentically and with trust and with believing that what we're being told is true and accurate.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of value in that as well.
Yeah, for sure. There's a quote that says, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has already taken place.
Right.
And to me, I really, it kind of resonates with me, because there are certain things that, especially me, I have a personality that's kind of contemplative. And so I've thought through scenarios, you know, most of the time, a lot.
Yeah.
And probably ad nauseum, and probably, you know, way overthinking things.
Yeah.
But the idea is that I've thought about it so long, and so then sometimes I've already established a outcome or an attitude about that, or a, you know, certain degree of, you know, whether it be good or bad, I've already kind of decided in my mind. And so sometimes when that communication comes up and something's questioned, or something, the outcome is, you know, your perception of the outcome or the perception of what we're talking about may be different.
Mm-hmm.
I think I take that sometimes as an affront, because I've already kind of gone through some scenarios, but I didn't tell you those scenarios.
Right.
And so sometimes I've seen myself do that, where I expect you to read my mind, or have heard my thoughts, or have heard, you know, the inner dialogue. And that's just not fair.
Yeah.
It's not fair to put that on you to decide that, well, you should have already known how I would think about this, or you should already know what I would have, you know, what I would have said for this, you know, response or this answer.
Yeah.
We have to communicate that. And the lack of communication, I think, does lead to distrust, and that can lead to an inconsistency that leads us to, you know, giving us something that we can't decide that, you know, okay, I can trust you because you've communicated, and what you've communicated matches up with how you act.
Yeah.
And I think, and not act, but, you know, it's like how you respond, how you determine an outcome to things, how you, you know, if our daughter has a question, the consistency that I've seen in you over time, and then the communication that comes out of that, I think that's what gives me the trust and the ability to say, okay, if she has that response, if she has that answer, if she has that, then I can trust that. But it's because you and I have communicated things usually outside of those immediate needs and those immediate response type conversations, because you and I talk. We actually literally spend time gathering our thoughts, sharing our thoughts, not always perfectly, but being vulnerable about things and protecting each other's vulnerabilities. Because I think that all leads to good communication. Communication is obviously the distillation of information. But it's how you communicate. It's how you convey those things. It's how you share your heart. It's how you protect those moments and those things that when your spouse shares with you. Because communication is more than just relaying information.
It's more than just verbal, too.
And it's also, it's definitely more than just verbal.
I'm thinking of a small incident on Sunday where you had mentioned, this past Sunday, you had mentioned somewhere, we were at lunch, and you mentioned us going somewhere after. And I thought it was a great idea. And I'm pretty sure I said I thought it was a great idea. But then later, you decided we weren't going to go there, and you thought it, you said it was because you didn't think I was actually interested in going. And it was funny to me because, one, when you said it, I really did think it was a great idea. And then, two, I was so far down the path that I was like, great, because I haven't had coffee
in
7 hours. And that'll be a great, lovely place to go have coffee and all the things. And so in my mind, I'm like, in every level and capacity, it was a great idea internally. And I thought externally, I communicated that. And it's just miscommunication. You thought I wasn't interested in going. So it was, it's just weird. So it's going to happen. There's going to be miscommunications even on like basic stuff.
That's the thing, is that if it's, you know, like in those basic, you know, it can become a bigger thing because it's so basic that it's like, okay, we ought, we sometimes think automatically we've answered or our answer was sufficient, or we thought, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. So the communication is more than just a conveyance of a direct information. Sometimes there has to be a specific follow through, like, oh yeah, that would be great because I could do this or that or whatever. Not just like, sure. You know, so to me, I feel like there's differences between yes or no. There's a difference between here's why this works out, here's why it doesn't work out. Because those things are going to come up. You know, we have one daughter. I know many people who listen here may have, you know, one or two or multiple kids. But the idea is that when you're communicating, each of your kids probably communicate differently. Your spouse, obviously, you need to communicate in the way that they hear and they understand. And, you know, and also that's the other thing, is seeking to understand, understanding each other. There's a scripture here in Proverbs 18. It says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. To answer before listening is folly and shame. The human spirit can endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? And to me, how I read that is, if I'm, like in that scenario on Sunday, if I'm anticipating a certain response, but don't get it, that's on me. I can, you know, my expectations can only be limited or exceeded, you know, like I can only kind of just have that expectation. But if it doesn't get met, then I have to kind of reevaluate and say, okay, well, let me just recheck and make sure that this is the right thing, make sure that we're still doing that, make sure that's still the plan, that type of deal. But it's also thinking that I know the answer, or that I've answered for us or for each other, before truly listening and trying to hear out, okay, what do you think about this question? What do you think about this scenario? And I think that second, I added that second part in, the human spirit can endure sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? Because I think that a lot of times in marriage, that's what we end up with.
Yeah.
Is that we don't hear each other, or we're not heard by the other. And that over time, maybe not the first time, maybe not the first few times, but over time will absolutely crush your spirit.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling heard, if you're not feeling seen, if you're not feeling that your vulnerabilities are being protected, I think you absolutely over time will see that your spirit is crushed. And that's where, again, those separations come in. That's where distance comes in. That's where feelings of isolation come in. That's where feelings of resentment come in, is because I've tried to explain myself to you. You refuse to hear me. You refuse to listen. You know, those types of things.
Yeah.
And I think those are the type of things that within communication are very, very, very important.
Yeah.
We have to seek to understand each other. We have to hear each other. If we feel like maybe even there's could be a misunderstanding, go ahead and nip it in the bud and try and clarify.
Yeah.
Try and understand each other. Try and see, hey, did you really want to do that? Did you really mean that? Did you really, you know, all those type of things? Because I promise you, the redundancy and the over communication sometimes, you know, we think it's over communication, but sometimes it's just direct.
Yeah.
And so I think the lack of communication is worse than over communication.
Yeah. And I would say that that's one of the other things that I think you and I have tried to practice quite a bit, is deciding how committed we are to being upset or staying upset.
Yes.
Because ultimately,
that's a good one.
It's like you're going to be committed to one or the other. You're going to be committed to saying, all right, this is not, this does not have to rock our world in the scheme of things.
Right.
Let's move on. Or you're committed to, nope, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to let everybody know I'm mad. It's going to ruin our day.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Exactly. And either way, you're, you know, oftentimes you are choosing, like not you, but I'm saying people, we
people
are choosing
whether
we want to say, all right, this is not that big of a deal. And so I'm choosing to not make this that big of a deal.
Right.
Or no, I think I'm going to choose just to dig my heels in and let's make it a thing, you know, and we have the power to do either one.
Yep.
We have the power to decide this is really not worth losing happiness, peace, and joy over.
Right.
Or we have the power to decide that, yeah, we just want to sit here in whatever, our frustration and our disappointment and, you know, just literally waste time.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one thing you and I, we are not perfect at it by any means, but we, I feel like, have practiced over the years and try to continue to practice moving on quickly.
Yeah.
To not waste time being upset.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that, yeah, I think that's important to also still clarify that, you know, it's not trying to sweep things under the rug.
Right.
It's very different than trying to just say, okay, fine, we were both upset, let's move on.
Yeah.
We have to hear each other out.
Yeah.
So sometimes we do that and we'll come back to each other and say, okay, this is why that made me mad. Or this is why I felt this way. Or this is why. And we can kind of take that time to explain to each other, because sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes we think, hey, that was a, what do you call it? Like an irrational thought or an irrational response or whatever. But then we've been able to at times dig in and say, well, why, you know, that was unlike you, or that wasn't, you know, that wasn't actually, you know, how you normally respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brings us into the third point that we have, is consistency.
Right.
You know, I kind of touched on it just a minute ago of the inconsistencies and the things, but consistency really is something that is, it's a trust that's built over time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just, okay, remember when I said blah, 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 and you just have to remember and apply that to everything now. It's like, I have to renew that, and I have to continue to be consistent in how I communicate, the way in which I seek to learn more about you and learn more about, you know, the situations. Because consistency, I think, is one of those maybe undervalued and sort of just misunderstood things. You know, this is, we're talking about not just quantity of things.
Right.
But we're talking about the consistency means I do something well and do something better and look for progress.
Yeah.
And then I do that over and over and over and over again. You know, because
and consistently showing up for each other.
Right.
Consistently forgiving each other.
Right.
consistently growing and not needing forgiveness for the same things.
Right. And that's where I'm going, is more for me.
Yeah.
It's been more development, consistency. Yeah. You know, if you're consistent at your job, you get promotions.
Yeah, because you get better at what you do, and you're able to handle more.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're consistent in the gym, you'll achieve your goals. Whether it's, you know, losing weight or gaining weight, or whether it's cardio or you know, endurance, weight training or endurance. You know, with consistency, it's not just saying, okay, cool, I max repped, my goal weight and now I'm done and that's it. And we did it once and I can get out of here.
Yeah.
Consistency is over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Because even if you built up to, you know, keeping the weight training kind of analogy, if you work up to a new max and you're like, okay, cool, now I've done that.
Yeah.
But then you don't hit the gym, you're not following up, you're not resting, you're not doing your routines, you're not doing the things. You don't always just have that max strength anymore.
Right.
That strength will degrade over time. Mm-hmm. Those muscles will atrophy. Those things, the inconsistency of your training will show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in marriage, it shows up in distrust.
Yeah.
It shows up in short fuses.
Yeah.
It shows up in elevated tempers. It shows up in lots of different ways, because those little cracks and those in that consistency are what leads to, you know, fear, anxiety, distrust. I don't know what your response will be.
Right.
And so I'm nervous to even tell you that we have a problem with the truck.
Yeah.
Or I'm even nervous to say, hey, our kid brought home this, progress report that's not that exciting.
Right.
But your consistency over time was not always favorable or not always conducive, not always productive. And so it brings fear into your relationship, because you don't know how they're going to react.
Right.
And so that's the type of consistency we're talking about. We're talking about growing, developing, becoming, you know, a better version of who you're supposed to be, whether that be just in your marriage or as a father or as an employee or an employer. And little consistencies can build over time.
Yeah.
You don't have to get it all in one swap.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the other thing.
I don't think you can. I think
there's no way.
That's the whole point of consistency is you have to do it over and over and over. You know, it's not a one and done.
Right. How are some of the ways that you've seen consistency in relationships, consistency in marriage, be both either a benefit, or when you've seen it not there, what are some of those effects?
Well, it's like I was saying earlier, I've seen people be consistently committed to tearing each other down.
Bad behaviors.
Consistently committed to being, you know, talking negatively about their spouse, talking negatively to their spouse.
Yes.
You know, people can be very consistent in bad behavior, in aggression, in abuse, in, you know, being volatile, being, you know, overly demonstrative and causing fear in the home and things like that. So those things can be consistent, and those, you know, that's going to breed a environment that nobody's actually comfortable with.
Yeah.
I've also seen people be consistent in continually choosing to love each other.
Oh, yeah.
And being for each other.
Yeah.
And being committed to their marriage and committed, you know, like, this, we're not fighting against each other. We are for each other.
Right.
And, you know, when I think that consistency is in place, I just think that there's a lot more rest and peace in a marriage.
Yeah.
And you know that it's kind of the two of you against the world. And a lot of days it feels like that, because this world can be a very difficult place to live. It can be, you know, there's a lot of things that go on that are very heartbreaking and, you know, just it's a lot sometimes.
Right.
But when you have your person and you guys actually make that decision consistently over and over again to be with each other, to be for each other, and to be committed to the relationship, I think there's a lot of strength that comes from that.
Yeah.
There's this quote that says, a successful marriage requires falling in love many times, always with the same person.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with long-term relationships, with long marriages, you know, it's like you think that you know everything about each other, But it's like you were saying earlier, there will be little things that pop up and you're shocked or surprised at how the person is reacting.
Right.
Or the way that they're
handling, the
handling it. Yeah. Or you've seen each other be really great in other circumstances like that, and now it's different.
Yeah.
And you don't know why, mm-hmm. you know. So that's kind of the interesting dynamic of a long-term relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you see all the facets.
Yeah.
The ebbs, the flows, the consistencies, the inconsistencies in that person.
Right.
And we're human at the end of the day. Like,
for sure.
We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But we do, we are committed to trying to live a solid life, live a life with each other that we are happy with and that brings us joy, that brings us peace. That brings a sense of safety and stability in our home. And so I think that's the key, is just being intentional for the good, for each other and for the marriage.
Yeah, for sure. I think you said something about, it's not, perfection is not, maybe in this life is not, perfection is not possible.
Right.
But I think, we think about the consistency and the things that we can build towards that. And, there used to be a quote, I guess people still use it a lot, but practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. But practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes progress.
Right.
And that gets us to a better version of ourselves, mm-hmm. a better form of marriage, a better format for parenting, a better format for being employed or being an employer.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing that we have to hold on to as well, is those little drops of consistency, those little drops of progress, those little drops of, and you'll know. This is the thing, is that if you've been married more than 20 minutes, you'll probably know, or when when you hear this, if you want to know, what your spouse, how they think about you, what they're thinking, what, some mm-hmm. of the consistencies that we're talking about. Ask them directly. Say, hey, when I get mad, what are the things that I do?
Yeah.
And make it funny. Hopefully there's you guys have enough strength and enough to hold on to even have this conversation if you're, struggling. But sometimes you can make it funny before it gets too bad and just say, hey, why don't you mimic me when I've gotten angry? Why don't you mimic me when I'm excited? Why don't you mimic, show me, because our family knows that. Like, if I tell my daughter, hey, why don't you, show me what I look like when I'm mad, she'll characterize that perfectly.
Yeah.
And thank God she can, make it like a caricature and make it more like funny. But, there's been times when I've lost my temper. There's times in which I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. But also when I'm elated, when I'm happy, I guarantee you there's some consistency in how I display my humor, my joy, my happiness as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't believe me, ask your spouse, ask your kids, ask them to be truthful.
Yeah.
Safeguard that truth, safeguard what they're going to tell you and how they're going to show you.
Yeah.
Protect it, provide a safe place for them to do that. But I guarantee you it'll open your eyes a little bit, because sometimes we don't even see how we act.
Yeah.
Because we don't have mirrors around us 24/7.
Yeah.
But if we are...
Or we just don't care sometimes.
Sometimes we don't care. But I think that's the idea, is that the more that we don't look at it, the more that we don't see it, the more that we don't use our own self-awareness to go, to kind of attack that, the more we won't see it.
Right.
And the more we won't address it, the more that we will just continue
more damage
to...
is done.
The more damage we can do.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to try and figure that out. Try and understand yourself a little bit better this week. Try and understand... if there's a thing that is wearing your patience this week, lean into it, see what makes it so hard to bear, what makes it, and really kind of try and figure out, is it something in you or is it just that situation? Because a lot of times it's something deeper and it's something that we need to address on a long-term, deal.
Yeah.
And just this little thing that showed up is what exacerbated it. But really we need to be we need to look inside. We need to be able to kind of diagnose and see that. I was thinking when you were talking earlier too about that track record and understanding, we've seen it all kind of deal. It was kind of like if you buy a car, you usually have something called a Carfax.
Yeah.
You can find out the history of the car.
Yeah.
You can find out if it was hurt or damaged or, you know, this or that or whatever.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we as people, as humans, will show up and show off very well in front of others.
Right.
And so that, to me, in my mind, it reminds me of when you're buying a car, it's usually washed, it's usually vacuumed, it looks really good. They've parked it somewhere new, so you don't see the oil stains underneath it.
Yeah.
You don't see the fluids leaking. You don't see the, you know, the battery cables that may be too loose and rusted out that, you know, the next time you crank the car, it's not going to start. But it'll start for the salesperson, and you'll drive it away and have to replace the cables. And, you know, so I think that's the type of thing with relationships, is that especially with an intimate partner, with your spouse, they're the ones that have seen it all. Mm-hmm. They know, you know, what cables are rusty. They know what fluids are leaking. They know that, you know, if you lift up the car mats, there's, you know, some crumbs from Chick-fil-A under there.
Yeah.
They're the ones that know all of it. Mm-hmm. We may show well to others, but the ones who know us the most will actually know the truth. And so that's the type of thing that we have to realize, that when we're dealing with our communication, our commitment, and our consistency, there has to be an element of truth, that we have to know the truth ourselves, seek the truth. We're not making up truth here. There's a historical data that we can look at. Mm-hmm. There's points along the line that we can say, you know, I'm not to, not to rake each other over the coals, but just to say, okay, here's our waypoint so that we know that we're progressing.
Right.
You know, because then we can say, oh, well, you know what? Dad used to react this way when this would happen, and now he's reacting better.
Yeah.
Or mom used to, you know, show this type of behavior, and now it's, you know, kind of getting, you know, better. We can kind of count on that to be happier, more joyful, or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Those type of things, if we don't, if we're not truthful with ourselves, you know, we can lie to pretty much everyone, but we can't lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
And so if we're not willing to look ourselves in the face, in the mirror, to say, how do I become better at these three things?
Right.
How do I, you know, and those are the things that we can expect from our spouse, to be better at those three things.
Yeah.
You know, these are not, this is not the end all be all of every great relationship, but I think these are three key foundational things. You know, these are like the legs of a table, you know, these, they have to kind of be in balance. You know, you can't just over communicate one day and then not communicate the other day, because that's inconsistent. You know, you can't say I do on the marriage, on the wedding day, but then every other day you're out doing whatever the heck you want to, and you're not actually committed. You know, each of these things kind of have to be in balance. And we have to seek to improve and progress in each one of these, because it matters. You know, our marriages matter, our family dynamics matter. Culture is, like you said at the top of the show, there's so many things trying to take our attention, take our time, take our money, take our, you know, even take each other. You know, there's certainly things that are trying to take our men away from our wives, our, you know, our women, and our women to be taken away from their husbands, our kids to be taken away from their parents. And we need to not let that happen. We need to be strong, committed. We need to understand our roles as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives. We need to understand what we need to do in order to combat all the things that are trying to split us up, divide us, take our time, take our money, take our resources. Because at the end of the day, you know, there are some strong forces against us. And so we have to be even that much stronger. We have to be aware of that. And so that's why we talk about this so much. That's why we talk about marriage and relationships, and, you know, really try and make, you know, dialogue around this, is because it does matter that much. Any final thoughts or anything that you want to share about marriage or about what we just talked about? Or,
well, I'll just say that I think we focus on it so much because everything flows from it. And so whether good or bad, ultimately everything is flowing first out of that core relationship. If you are married, and relationships in general, everything flows out of your relationships. And so, you know, we never try and project to be experts. But there are some things that don't have to be so complicated that we can absolutely speak to. And it's these things. It's, you know, commitment, it's communication, it's consistency.
Exactly.
And then those sub points of being intentional to choose joy, being intentional to move past nonsensical discrepancies.
Yeah.
Being intentional not to create fear in your home, being intentional to not make things a bigger deal than they are, to be intentional to show each other that you care for each other and that you love each other. Mm-hmm. And be intentional to spend time together.
Right.
You know?
It's good.
And so that's all, you know, that I would add to it. But I think that it is just, it really is what everything flows from.
Yeah.
And so if that relationship is healthy, then we have a much better chance at having healthier relationships with our children.
Yes.
Our children being more comfortable talking to us about the hard things that they're going through and the hard things they face.
Yes.
And as we know, society is full of families, whether whole and healthy families or broken families.
Yep.
And so no matter what, everything is starting with the family.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important and why it matters so much to us.
Yes, for sure. And the bottom line is that we're not made to do this life alone.
Right.
So whether that's in a committed, loving relationship in marriage, whether that's, you know, with family, whether that's, you know, with friends, people that we see, you know, spend time with in our groups or churches or whatever. But also the importance, we always stress the importance of when needed to seek out professional help, to seek the care of, you know, certain physicians or counselors or therapists, people that are trained and may have tools that you just, you know, maybe don't have access to or didn't grow up around or didn't, you know. And so to me, I think that's also something that we like to share with people, is that it's okay to reach out for help. It's okay to share your burdens. It's okay to, you know, the Bible says to bear one another's burdens and to, you know, to confess to one another, to find solace with people, to be able to share that with people and trust that they will take care of that. But, you know, bearing each other's burdens, seeking professional care and help, those are also values that we hold dear. We've got a section on our website. You can go to connectglobal.org/prayer, where first of all, you can send us a prayer request. There's an easy way to text a prayer request to us. Someone from our team will be praying for you and respond only if you want us to. But also, there are some resources there. So you can just scroll to the bottom of that page. We'll also put it in the show notes of this podcast, of professional, you know, nationwide hotlines, numbers, and websites that you may be able to go to if you're seeking more professional help and more direct help. Because it's okay to do that. And it's, you know, we need to destigmatize the reality that we're not meant to do life alone and that it's okay to ask for help. So,
And if you know us more on a personal level and there's things you're going through or things that you want prayer for, reach out to us directly. And Javier and I are always available and willing to just do life together and to be of any help that we can be, whether it's just listening, praying, whatever it is. So if you if you know us on a more personal level, then reach out to us in those formats as well.
Yes, definitely. So that's it for today's show. We so much appreciate you tuning in, listening. We have a new podcast every Tuesday here on the Connection Podcast with Connect Global. So again, I'm Javier.
And Danielle.
And we are looking forward to seeing you again next Tuesday. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.